But I'm going to start off with a little bit of a history lesson, because today what I want to put in your minds and your hearts is the word, the verb fortify. The Battle of New Orleans occurred back in 1814 and went into 1815. It showcased the critical role of fortifications in defending a city. The Americans constructed three defense lines, with the main line at the Rodriguez Canal. Along the Rodriguez Canal, the Americans installed 8 artillery batteries with various caliber guns and a howitzer. These fortifications proved highly effective against the British assault. Post-battle, recognizing the need for improved coastal defenses, additional forts like Fort Pike, Fort Macomb, were built to enhance New Orleans' protection. The battle underscored the importance of well-planned fortifications in warfare. Now, this battle and many throughout history have been won because the army fortified its resources and their forces. What does this matter to us today? The devil hates the family unit and regularly engages us in battle. I think we see it all throughout society today. And I think as families, we must do everything we can to fortify and strengthen our families to be prepared for the enemy's attacks. Today, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And I titled this, Fortify Your Family, and I was going to do all 4 verses, but as I finalized my sermon and really got to the final stages of writing everything down, it was just like there was an angel standing at between the 3rd verse and the 4th verse saying, this is it. You'll not go any further today. So everything for the 4th verse will have to be next Sunday, because today we're going to center on the role of the children in fortifying the family. But parents, don't sit back and take ease. You'll have a portion in this as well, because we're all in this together. In order to really appreciate Paul's writings here, I think we first need to take a step back in time. I think we need to all go back to this Roman time that Paul's writing in to understand, what did the family look like then? What did the parents, what did the father, the mother look like? What did the children's roles, what were they? Because they're very, very different than today. Back then, the Romans had a law called parea potestas. It means the father's power. This was a law. Under the father's power, a Roman father had absolute power over his entire family. He could sell them as slaves. He could make them work in his fields and even enchain them. He could punish them however he liked. And he could even inflict the death penalty upon them without anybody saying a word. It was completely lawful. The power of the Roman father extended over the child's entire life. As long as the father was alive, no matter how old the child would be, the child was still to be completely submissive and listen to everything the father said. This is the audience that Paul writes this letter to. As we talked about marriage over the last couple of weeks, Jesus' teaching on family has been very different. The Roman marriage was in shambles. It was a joke. And Jesus comes in and he teaches and he inspires Paul to teach husbands how to love wives, how wives to be submissive to their husbands. And then now, in this environment, Jesus is also going to inspire Paul to teach us how to parent our children, how children to obey their parents in a new way, in a better way, in the way that God has intended. Has the pendulum of family management swung too far in the opposite direction today from the father's power? Have we left the place where fathers could kill their children and have their children murdered for no reason? Have we left this place and swung over here to another place where the children are now the parents over, or the children are over the parents? Has the pendulum swung too far? If our families are to align with God's design and glorify Him, then we must strive for somewhere in between these two places. And the right place is going to be in God's will and in God's command. A fortified family will require both parents and children to follow God's commands for their respective roles within the family. Let's begin. If we are to fortify our family, then parents must teach children to obey their parents. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We have two problems at least today in parenting, and I want to say this before we get started. I feel like I confess these things to you guys beforehand, but I feel like I need to. I don't have the parenting thing figured out. I'm not the best parent in the world. I've made more mistakes than I could continue to talk to y'all about for the next hour. But we're centered upon God's word today. One of the problems is obedience only comes natural for very few children. Amen. Did anybody say amen? Did I get one out there? In my observation, no is learned quite early. It may be right behind dad, mom, then no. I was a no child. That's just who I was, so I resonate with them. But we also have another problem is sometimes as parents, we can lack motivation to continue to encourage and teach our children to obey. Sometimes we get wore out. I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting with you. That's not what the Bible says. We have an obligation to our children to persevere and continue even though there is the no and the disobedience. Paul gives a clear reason for the children to obey. This is right. There's the reason, because it's right. Paul implies this in the text, if we look at it, that parents have given instructions for the children to obey. If they are to obey, then that means that also the parents have to have given them some instructions to obey. And what does obey mean? It means hearing and then taking action. That's what it means, to hear and then to take action, to hear and to do. Here's an example of that. Yesterday, I was down in the basement. Bethany was a little more excited about the storms than I was. I'm just not a storm guy. Thunderstorms is just kind of my thing. I like thunderstorms. I don't get excited. But she was very cautious and really leading the family and being careful. And I was down in the basement just hanging out, and she hollered down there, "I want you to go help me take down that volleyball net before it flies away in this storm that we're about to have." Well, what I did is I immediately got up and put my shoes on, and I immediately started walking out in the yard, and I met her at that volleyball net. That's obedience. That's obedience. Hear and obey. And like a good husband that loves his wife, I obeyed her, and we went and took down that volleyball net. Cultures and societies have expected obedience from children in the natural realm, in this world that we live in and navigating that. Some examples, I'm sure a long time ago, a parent would tell a child, "Do not eat those red berries, because if you eat those red berries, they'll kill you." That's just a natural command that we learn and we pass on to our children. What about, "Do not mess with the rattlesnake"? When it is rattling and it is pulled back and coiled up, if you keep messing with it, guess what's going to happen? It's going to bite you and then you're going to die. And then we bring this on to our culture and our society today. And like I've had to save my children's life several times, do not just walk out into the road. But what do they do? They just ride down the road. I can remember, I know I've at least saved one of their lives by grabbing their arm and pulling them back. Because these are simple commands in the natural realm that we give our children for the reason that they should obey so that they can not die. But we learn things the hard way, don't we? Maybe I'm the only one. But I'm just tell you, I raised both my hands. I learned things the hard way. When I was 7, my dad was out there working outside the garage. He was building something. And of course, I had to go get into something because that's just who I am. Well, he had this old Crossman pellet rifle, the wooden kind, you know, and the kind you pump up. And if you pumped it up seven times, supposedly it was like a .22 rifle. I loved to shoot it. And it was you know, basically free to shoot it. If you could pump it seven times, the bullets are so cheap or whatever. So I shot that thing. I killed everything. Well, one day I wanted to shoot, and he was out there, and I got a 2x4. Because that's what he was doing. He was building something. I took that 2x4 and I went out there about 10 yards and I hammered it into the ground and I came back and I went to shoot the 2x4 and he said, son, do not shoot that 2x4. And I thought, well, you're not using the 2x4. Why can I not shoot the 2x4? He said, I'm telling you, if you shoot that 2x4, that bullet can come back and hit you. Whatever. Well, as soon as he got back in the garage, I said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, put the pellet in it, 2x4. As soon as I shot that thing, that bullet hit me right between the eyes. That's the truth. I'm telling you, as soon as I pulled the trigger and you heard that, pff, it was already back and hit. And I was stunned. I thought that could have just put my eye out. I'd have been like the guy on the Christmas movie. You go put your eye out. I really would have put my eye out. But that was Dad, who had wisdom, was just giving some common protection to his child. Don't do this or you're going to get hurt. If I had obeyed him, I would have never had that bullet between my head, but I also wouldn't have had a great illustration to share with you today. Children were to obey our parents because they can see dangers that we cannot. All I could see is that I was not going to hurt the 2x4. He could see that the 2x4 would ricochet the bullet back into me. But should children obey every command from a parent? Is this a blanket? Is Paul writing a blanket statement that no matter what, there's no exception? Children, you should obey your parents in everything they say. I think your loyalty has always got to be to Jesus Christ first and then your parents. If you have a parent, I pray that none of y'all have a parent, but if you have a parent that is telling you, you must not believe in Jesus Christ, you must not have a relationship with him, you must not follow him, that's where the line is drawn. When the disobedience errors or flows over into disobeying God, that's when we have to draw the line. Where do we see that? In the book of Acts, we're studying this on Wednesday night. Acts 5:29, but Peter and the apostles answered the Jewish council, we must obey God rather than man. And I think that's our guiding light. We must always obey God rather than man. And so here comes a lesson back to the parents. We must never instruct our children in such a way that they would have to make the choice of to obey God or to obey us. Because it says right there, in the Lord. We should be instructing our children in the Lord so they never have to make that decision. If we are to be fortified as a family, parents must provide sound, natural, and biblical guidance for our children. We must be turning to God's Word. If we wonder how to instruct our children, what we should be telling our children what to do, it's found right here. As long as we keep our instructions founded in the Word of God, we will never have to worry about compromising this. We will always be leading them in such a way where they can obey us and be successful. But children, you must hear and obey the biblical and proven natural guidance from your parents. You're not going to want to do that sometimes. I can testify. But I'm willing to say that your mother and daddy love you unconditionally and want the very best for you, and that's why they're giving you those instructions. They need to do it. Children must obey if they want to do what is right, if they want to glorify God, if they want to harvest the benefits that we're going to get to in verse 3. And also, if you want to play your part in fortifying your family. If we're to fortify our family, then parents must teach children to honor their father and mother. We see this in verse 2. It's very clear. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. What does it mean to honor? If we're telling you to honor, what is it? How do we define it? How do we see it? To honor means to show respect, to give recognition, and it often implies an action in order to show the honor. It takes work. It's doing. This is the fifth, in Exodus you go back, this is the fifth of 10 commandments. Now many scholars will take the 10 commandments because they're written on two tablets, 5 and 5. The first 5, if you look at them, are all commandments for God. We're doing these commandments in order to serve, honor, and glorify God. And then the other 5 are things that we're doing always for God, but they're for other people and how we live our life in that realm. But this one would be is the fifth commandment, falling in line over here on how to honor God. What does that matter? Honoring your father and mother is ultimately honoring God. If you want to honor God, you have to honor your father and mother. And why is that important? Maybe you have a father and mother you don't want to honor. I understand there's all types of people in all types of situations. And thank God I never had to worry about that. I had a mother and a father that loved me unconditionally, and honoring them was very easy. But if today, if you're struggling, you say, I can't honor my father and mother. There's just no honor in them. Well, just know you're not escaping the commandment. You're still to honor them and let this fact that really you're ultimately honoring God be your motivator for continuing to be obedient and honor your mother and father. Did Jesus model honoring father and mother? Do y'all remember when he was a young boy and they traveled to the temple in the caravan? There's a big caravan of them. They got together, they traveled to the temple, and then they were heading back. And when they headed back, there were so many of them, Jesus had stayed behind and nobody even noticed. Like, they left Jesus. I mean, what are they doing, you know? Well, this is during that time, Luke 2, 48 through 51. When they saw him, this was, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, Jesus said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Was Jesus in the wrong by being at the temple? No. But when his mother and father came and got him and said that they were worried and called him to go with them, it says that he was subject to them and he honored them and he obeyed them and he went back with them. Jesus modeled honoring both his earthly and his heavenly parents. One problem is society seems to slip further and further from desiring honor. Anybody feel that way? Anybody feel like that honor is becoming less and less important in society? I'm the only one? Okay, but I feel like that it is. I cannot remember learning to say, "Yes, sir," "No, sir," "Yes, ma'am," "No, ma'am." I have no memory of that being taught to me. Yet it is something that I do. I continue to do it. Even when people get mad at you today, "Yes, ma'am," "Don't you say yes, ma'am," to me. You know, I still do it because I've been taught that honoring other people. Today, I'm surprised if I hear it. I don't even hear kids say "yes, sir," "no, sir," "yes, ma'am," "no, ma'am" to their parents or anybody else. That's not all. I do hear it, but it's just more rare. Why is this? I think one explanation is that parents are slipping further and further away from teaching people to honor them and thus honor other people. If a child is not taught to honor their parents, I don't know how we could ever, ever, ever expect a child to honor anybody else. Honor and respect goes beyond "yes, sir," and "no, sir." I mean, I get that. I'm not limiting it to that. But honor and respect begins here and here and then manifests out into our actions, our words, and our actions towards other people. I believe that our failure as a society to continue to teach these God principles and to teach children to honor and obey their parents and honor and obey others, especially adults, has led to some of the problems in our public school system. Twenty years ago, I was going to go into teaching. That was my original pursuit. I was going to be a secondary education English teacher. That's what I was going to do. And one of the reasons why I decided not to do that is because you couldn't get a job. I mean, I would talk to people and there was no jobs for this. I mean, they're like, you can do this. So the counselors would be like, you can pursue this, but just know you're going to have to really network and find a way to get a job because there's just no teaching jobs. That was just 20 years ago. Today, where are we? Today, now there's incentive plans to try to get people to be teachers. Why? Why have we made this big transition? Well, I'm not going to tell you that I have the precise answer for this, but I will tell you a lot of the responses that I get from people that don't want to be teachers. They say, I'm not going to go in there and teach those heathens. I'm not going to go in there and be disrespected from the time that I go into work to the time that I leave. They don't want to just endure it. I can't say that I blame them. And what is this partly because? We have trailed away from teaching children to honor their father and their mother and other people that are around them in society. I did not always honor every teacher. I'd be telling you a lie in the middle of this pulpit. One of my first Sundays here, I was confronted by a lady who told me, I don't know if you remember me, but I remember you disrespecting me as a substitute teacher back when you were in high school. That was with parents who taught me to honor your mother and father. That was with me being very fearful of my parents if I did not honor my mother and my father. I can't imagine what that would have looked like if my mom and dad had never taken the time and the love to teach me that I should honor my father and my mother. I can guarantee you that our school system, our college system, our world in general would begin to revolutionize and go back to a better place today if we made it a priority in the home to teach our kids to honor their mother and their father and adults. I got excited. Parents' failure to teach honor to their children was alive and well in Jesus' day. This is not a problem that has just suddenly arisen in the 21st century. Matthew 15, 3 through 6, Jesus teaching, and he answered and said to them, why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death. More on this soon. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that will help you has been given to God, he is not to honor his father or his mother. And by this, you have invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. What is Jesus teaching them? Your tradition is not an exception for God's law. What culture teaches and whatever these psychologists come up with are not an exception for us to stop teaching our children to honor their father and mother. Parents must not dismiss their command to teach their children to honor them. Here's another thing. We are the parents. They are the children. I am not my daughter's friend. I will never be my daughter's friend. Why? Because I love them too much to be their friend. The love that I have for my daughters goes so far past friendship that it doesn't even look anything like it. I'm not called to be their friend, I'm called to be their parent. Honoring children, obeying and honoring their father and mother is a critical portion to fortifying the family. If we're to fortify our family, then parents must teach children the benefit of obedience. The benefit of obedience. We see it in verse 3. So that it will be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. There's a promise from God of obedience. But now this promise, let's keep it contextual and not prosperity gospel. This promise was written directly to Jewish people as they entered into the promised land. This is not to an American in the 21st century, if you will. Let's approach this cautiously. Will every child, and this is how we can just make sure that we're on the right page. Will every child who does these things, who obeys their parents and honor God, will they live to be 100? Does every child that does that live to be 100? No. Sadly, some will die in car wrecks. Some will have awful childhood cancers. Some will die in other ways. So that is, we can't focus on that, oh, if I just obey, I'll live to be 100. That's not what we have here. Let's view this promise fundamentally. Jewish children who dishonored their parents would be sentenced to death, thus not living a short life. You picking up what I'm putting down? Two verses, very strong. Leviticus 20, verse 9. If there is anyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood guiltiness is upon him. Pretty strong. What about Deuteronomy 20? Is that a one-off? Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21. If any man has a stubborn or rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of the city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. What about that? So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it in fear. Children of dishonor would never make it to live this long promise. They'd be stoned to death. Let's look at honor leading to a longer life from a common sense perspective. Those who honor others in society will by and large reap the benefits of showing honor, both to parents and otherwise. What about a hiring manager? I've hired people. I've been a hiring manager. Who do you think I'm more likely to hire? Somebody who comes in and dishonors me and disrespects me? Or the person who comes in respectfully, honorably? Who am I going to hire? I'm going to hire the honorable person. So being honorable just in that situation promotes you to get the job so you can go buy groceries and continue to live longer. What about a hardened criminal on the street that you don't know is a hardened criminal on the street? If you go up and throw your shoulder into him and tell him what you think about him and dishonor him, what do you think he's more likely to do? Make you his next victim? That'll shorten your life. Thirdly, what about your friendships? Are you more likely to gain a new good friend by showing them honor or showing them disrespect? Honor. Children are to honor God by honoring their father and mother. But parents, we must teach them to honor their father and mother. Parents must also strive to be honorable. Amen. Recently, we had a little trouble that required some correcting at the house. An action was done, not a good one, to another person, and that led to this person being hurt and reaching out. And so the action from my household was created dishonor to me, created dishonor to my wife. So we go to correct the action, asking good questions, which is something we're going to talk a little bit more about specific parenting tactics next week in verse 4. But I was asking some good questions, and I'm glad that I did. Partially glad. I said, where did you learn to say things like that? Where did you learn to treat somebody like that? There was a hesitation. I knew what the hesitation meant. Guess who had taught it? Me. I had not lived honorably. I had modeled dishonor and successfully taught how to dishonor. We're to teach them to honor, but we also have to show honor and be honorable. That cut me to the heart. And all I could say was, my promise to you is to strive myself to be more honorable, and I expect you to do the same thing. We're all going to fall short. But parents, to fortify our family, we must teach and model honor within the homes if we want our children to continue to receive the good promises of God. I want my children to live long. I want my children to be blessed on this earth. I want my children to be blessed beyond this earth. And if we want that, we must teach them to honor and obey their parents. God would not have inspired Paul to instruct families if we innately knew how to perfectly function. And I think I've been parenting for over 15 years now, and I still feel like I'm on step one sometimes. It's not innate. They weren't born with a manual. They didn't come out with a nice little checklist of things to do to be a great parent and raise them up well. I've made a lot of mistakes. God knew that we were going to make mistakes. That's why He gave us this. Paul did not instruct families because no enemies or threats existed. Paul did not instruct it because society and culture was teaching the best way back there in Rome. I, like you, deeply desire for my family to be fortified and forged by God's instructions to both of us, children and parents. I deeply desire for my children to be successful in this life and the next. I deeply desire to have a godly and loving relationship with my kids until I die. I deeply desire for God to be honored by my family's relationship and our obedience to Him. Jeffrey, you and the team can come up. If you truly want to fortify your family, then you must believe and apply these commands from God. It's required. I have some questions that I'm going to leave with you as you go about your day. Parents and children, do you think God commanded these best instructions? Do you believe it? Do you believe these are God's commands? These are words from Him? Is this what He taught us? Do you think that God will honor His promises if we teach this and our children are obedient? Do you think that God will be faithful? And then lastly, this gets to a core matter. Do you first need a relationship with God so that you can believe that these are the best commandments and have the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can live these commandments? It's not easy. Parenting is the hardest thing I've ever done. And it just seems like it's getting harder. The bottom line is this: our obedience and success completely relies upon our relationship with Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us.